Wonder Stars of the Universe. My name is Ebony Freeman, and this is
Wonder Stars of the Nobo Art District. Tonight is First Friday, and we get to hear from the coolest Wonder Stars north of Mapleton Avenue in Boulder, Colorado. We've got a few young, a few old, a few who'd rather not have their age told. Get ready to pop along their planets as we travel through the Nobo Bus Stop Galleries Galaxy, sponsored by Streetwise Arts, a 501c3 nonprofit arts organization based in Boulder with a mission to vision and create mural projects, community art, and youth education programs by enhancing the creative urban landscape, amplifying cultural diversity, and engaging in social advocacy, justice, and dialogue. Thank you, Streetwise Arts.
Welcome to Pop to the Bus Stop Part 2, where we're going to be featuring Spencer of Mr. Hannimal, Joseph of Monks and Ninjas, and Leah, the Executive Director of Streetwise Arts. Get ready, it'll be a good time. We're going to start off with Joseph.
What's your name?
Joseph Jimenez.
Very cool. What's your artist name?
Monks and Ninjas.
Ooh, how'd you get that?
Been teaching martial arts for like 20 years or so. All my social media and business name were all Monks and Ninjas at the time. And I would make I'll do all my marketing. So I would do like little artsy, you know, martial arts stuff. And so when I decided to not teach as much, I wanted to focus on art, but I like the name. There's like a past to it, so I was like, I'm gonna keep it.
So, aww. Yeah. Wait, so what kind of martial arts do you teach?
A lot. Judo, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai. I'd say Muay Thai is my favorite right now. So.
Oh, that's awesome. I did a lot of BJJ in college, and I just picked it up again like this month. Love that.
Where at?
Easton, on 32nd?
Oh, yeah. I was going there before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to do a smoker. I was going to do a fight. But then I got canceled. It was fine because I got a chance to focus on my art.
And
that was worth it.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. So tell me more about your art.
Right now, I like to do digital artwork or paintings. I use primarily acrylic or airbrush. Mm-hmm. And my art is kind of about mixing Mesoamerican, so like Aztec and Mayan, with Chicano like aesthetics, kind of like what I grew up around in the 90s.
Mm. Where'd you grow up?
Los Angeles.
Oh, that's super cool.
So that was like everywhere around me in the 90s, and it's just like a lot of my influence these days, so I mix it with my art, and I'm a huge fan of anime, so I like kind of fuse it all and stuff like that, and a little bit of graffiti too and stuff like that.
Oh, that's so cool. So what does Chicano mean?
Mexican-American, basically. I'm half Mexican-American, and my other half is, my mom's from El Salvador, and it's like Mexican-American, specifically, styles. The ones that I do are, you find a lot in like the South, Southern, like LA and Texas and Arizona, stuff like that. But now it's like everywhere now, so even in Japan, probably.
Wait, oh my gosh, I did want to ask you about that. I saw the greatest short documentary by Vice. About Chicano culture's, honestly, globalization. How do you feel about that, and how do you see it interacting with your work, especially considering you love anime?
Yeah, that was like a couple years back when I saw that, it like blew me away. I was like, oh my god, there's like actually people who know about this outside of the United States and like really feel something from it. And I mean, through martial arts and like anime and all that, like Japanese culture in particular, it's like my second, you know, home or whatever. You know, I got to visit there for the first time a couple years back. I've gone twice now.
What?
And
why?
I don't know. I like the I like their style. I like the culture of kind of very collective and very creative. And through the martial arts, the discipline and, you know, the religion, kind of the religious, the spirituality that kind of permeates the whole city, you know, the whole country, really. You know, you go walk wherever and you see shrines and, you know, I grew up, my parents were very religious. I'm not as religious as they are, but grew up Catholic. And so seeing that, you know, reflection and just kind of wherever you go, and kind of samurai and the martial arts and just like and the anime and the manga, it's like all just kind of amazing. And, and yeah, I love it.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I've only ever been through Japan on the way to Taiwan and Singapore, but it's like my entire dream to be out there for like at least a month. Like how long were you out there?
Just like a week or so. We were with my son, he was like 3, so kept it short. But there was just so much. I mean, that's why we went a second time. It's just we did our trip the second time, but we're thinking about at some point doing a third one when my son's older, and
he's adorable.
Going north.
Cutest little guy.
He's got a lot of fire in him.
So how do you feel like those trips and your cultural background and your connection to spirituality influence your artwork?
So I got back into painting during the pandemic. I had taken like a 3 to 4 year break. I was like kind of just over it. I was focusing on martial arts, and I started, so when the pandemic hit, I wasn't training as much, really hardly training at all. I needed an outlet, and so I found a couple ways, and one of them was through cooking. I started doing like tamales and like moles and like all these kind of very labor intensive, you know, I like that. I like the physicality of it. And
I feel the same way about challah.
That's
a 6-hour process right there.
It is. And yeah, it's like when you, you know, I joke with my wife because I'm like, especially when I'm making tamales, I'm like complaining the whole time because it takes like 6 days, you know.
Oh, no.
Like I try to do it. I've done it before in like 2 days, and it was just brutal.
Oh,
it's
my!
Just like, and I'm like, God, I'm like sweating, and I'm like, it's all going into the like, my tears and my sweat are going into this. So it's like, but it's I like the work, and my art's kind of similar in some way. I like to put work into it and make it complex, and you know, I get lost in it. So, So I cooking and painting, I got back into that, and mostly just digital in the beginning. You know, be able to quickly sketch and color it, and at that time I was like trying to get in touch with my roots, and so I was like talking to my parents a lot, trying to figure out like getting some history about, you know, what our lineage is and how far back can we trace it, and art was reflecting that. And so that's kind of how all that kind of came together, was trying to get back in touch with something that I had, I was no longer part of. Like I moved out of LA, when I was like 21. And you know, I wanted to get out of there. I really wanted to get out. And so I kind of, when I moved away, I kind of, you know, rejected everything. That wasn't a good approach. I was like eager. I was like really wanting to just like get away, run away, and I did it. And with that came like a rejection of all that. And you know, it came a point where I needed to get back in touch with it because it was eating me inside. So and so I got, during the pandemic, I got to get back in touch with that. Reconnect with my parents, reconnect with my relatives, and just kind of see where everyone's at, and just kind of draw inspiration from that, and try to find some peace, you know, try to bring some peace, and it's been good. It's been a good experience so far.
My gosh, what a blessing and a privilege that you were able to create that path for yourself. You didn't wait for it to come to you. You created your path towards the culinary arts and the digital arts and the painting arts. Oh my gosh, so much art. So can you, I mean, I've been admiring since we moved into the Nobo Bus Stop Gallery, sponsored by Streetwise Arts. I've been admiring one piece in particular, where you have three pieces of wood. Tell me that story. Tell me what's it about.
Well, before when I would paint, it was all canvas, you know, and oils and stuff like that, and I've gotten bored of it. Like I said, I got bored of it. Yeah. I took a break, and so, you know, I was like, I want to do a painting, you know, and mostly I was working digitally because it was easy, you know, I could do it quickly, but I do love to paint, but I was like, I didn't want to go back. I hate the idea of knowing where the painting's going to end, like, what will be the final outcome. I hate that. It's like, as soon as I start to get the feeling like I know where it's going to go, I try to change it.
Like jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And so I was like, well, I want to do something with some reclaimed wood. And so I kind of found a place out towards El Dorado Springs and kind of in that direction, just outside of Boulder, that has all this like amazing wood, just all types. It's amazing. I kind of came across it by chance. And they had a whole section of reclaimed wood, and I just kind of went through it. I was like, this feels right. You know, I kind of... So I kind of went with that, and then as far as like what I decided to paint, lately I kind of start with an idea. So that idea is like, in this case, is sifting through old Chicano photographs. I used to... Me and my cousins and everyone make fun of like these pictures back in our day, back in the 90s. It's a very particular style of posing that, you know, is done. You know, it's like you'll see a lot of handshake, like kind of like that, you know, and they're kind of facing each other or their feet are turned out. It's like very stylish. Ooh. And I was like, I like this.
Ooh.
So it started kind of with, okay, I'm going to take a pose from that. I want, you know, and then I'm gonna take an anime concept, one of my favorite shows, and then mix them, and then kind of see where it kind of ends.
What?
So that's kind of how it comes about.
Thank you for telling me about the stylish pose of your stylish Chicano anime wood piece. Thank you so much for rounding out the Pop to the Bus Stop Gallery series. Yes. You have been awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun being here, being with you, and all the other artists, like really seeing their process and just kind of, you know, getting to know what drives the inspiration and all that. So, yeah, I've had a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Okay, have a great Wonder Star day.
All right, great.
I hope you loved all the Chicano flavor Joseph just delivered to your earbuds. Next up, we've got Mr. Hanimal. Welcome to Wonder Star Wednesday!
Yeah! It's exciting to be here.
Yay! Awesome. So, what is your name?
My name is Spencer. I also go by the artist name Mr. Hanimal.
Ooh, tell me, how did you get that name?
That's a creation I made. It's a little hand animal. just imagine like a llama made solely out of thumbs. That's pretty much what it is.
That's a great description. Tell me, what kind of colors they come in? How do you make them?
I make them out of recycled materials. So I start with like a cardboard armature, and then I try and fill as much trash in that armature as possible to take it out of the landfill. And then I put a paper clay on top of all that, that if you do a few layers of, becomes really strong. And then I'm finishing them now with a resin-based epoxy that's bio-friendly as well. So it's all environmentally friendly art. And they come in all sorts of different colors. there's a pink one, a yellow one, a blue one, a green one. The next one I'm doing is going to be purple.
Ooh.
All the Teletubby colors.
Oh, I love it. And, you know, I've seen so many children, adults, elderly climb on your sculptures here at the Nobo Bus Stop Gallery. Tell me about, how did you get this artist in residency?
This was recommended to me, I believe, from a friend at a mural festival. And they said, you should go over there. And I also was familiar with Streetwise Arts, who's the organization that puts it on beforehand. And I just love their take on art and activism and making sure that art has a deeper meaning besides just looking pretty. So I agreed with that as well. So normally with residencies, I try and go to them if it is going to afford me an opportunity or let me meet people who I wouldn't normally meet. And so I definitely wanted to be a part of this one.
Aww, so. I love that. And this is based in Boulder. Where are you based?
I'm based in Denver.
Oh my goodness. So I feel like your health, eco-friendliness travels even beyond your art. Tell me, how do you get from Denver to Boulder?
I bike over here, and then I ride the bus as well, so I don't bike the whole way. But I bike, you know, probably about an hour a day on my bike and then an hour in the bus. So, but it keeps me healthy too, and it gets me outside, and that's all good.
So Colorado. And you mentioned murals earlier. Do you do any mural work?
Yes, I do. I've been in a couple mural festivals, in the Rhino Arts Fest. I've been in Far Out Murals, and then I've done a couple. There's a couple in the Golden Triangle in Denver, that neighborhood.
What's Golden Triangle?
It's a neighborhood down there kind of by the Platte River. It's I think it was at one point the financial neighborhood. Now it's just kind of like a trendy area to live. But yeah, right next to the restaurant Cuba. I've got a mural on the Denver Music Association building. And then they've got a couple in I've got one in Walsenburg. There was one in Lakewood. I think that one actually got painted over because the company came under new management or something, but it is what it is. That stuff happens, you know. Yeah. Can't be too precious about it.
That's a really good attitude about it. So how did you become an artist?
My grandmother was like an artist, but you know, she didn't do it professionally, but she always painted and stuff. And so I used to paint with her even from when I was like 2 or 3 years old.
I was
painting with my grandma. And so I always took art classes growing up. And then I went to a high school where once you got past like ninth grade, you could kind of choose what you wanted to do.
Really?
So I haven't actually had like a science class or a math class past like ninth grade. I've just been taking art stuff. So it's kind of been always there.
Wait, that's awesome. So how did you decide? I still want to better understand. How does one come to the conclusion that, you know what I'm going to make today? A Hannibal. Like, how does that thought process work?
Well, above all, I think art should be fun. I think that there's a lot of important things that people say with art, and a lot of it ends up being kind of depressing, and that's fine. I think there's a place for that as well. But for me, I think my goal is always to make people laugh, no matter what. I just like making people smile, and so I want my art to do the same thing. And I think there's a way to do art that you can still have important things to say. Like, all my art is about the environment, but you can still make it super fun and goofy and out there so that people have a connection point to that, you know?
Oh, I love it. And I'm going to ask you, I feel like the question, artists, or at least myself, I can't stand getting this question. What do you see yourself doing in terms of art in the next 5 to 10 years?
Oh, I love this question.
Really?
Actually, yeah, because it's where, you know, you get to imagine. But hopefully I'm setting myself up to be kind of doing immersive experiences and fully building out the whole space. And I'm working with like a few different companies right now who have done that in Denver. And we're hoping to move it to some other states as well and kind of have a traveling show with projections and move these animals around and have pop-up experiences. So that's the goal right now. And then 10 years down the line, I mean, hopefully I'm on a yacht in 10 years. You know? But no, 10 years down the line, I hope these things are like you would see a Jeff Koons or a Cause sculpture, like, you know, just everywhere. That's my goal for them, is to be, you know, herds of animals all over the world, and for them all to be made out of recycled, eco-friendly material, and, you know, spread that message everywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh my gosh, wait, is Jeff Koons that one who put, like, a shark in glass?
Yep, yeah, and then he also does...
That's the only thing I know.
Yeah, I think that was Damien Hirst who did that one.
You're right.
Koons is the big balloon dogs. You know what I'm talking about? Like the big, huge 40-foot metal sculptures that look like balloon dogs.
Aww.
They're all over the world. Cause has he was a graffiti artist and then like became a contemporary artist, and he has sculptures in everywhere, but they're the big Mickey Mouse looking sculptures that kind of like his take on like a dead Mickey Mouse, I guess.
Oh wait, I have seen that.
They've got like the weird ears, and they're always doing their hands over their eyes.
Yeah,
yeah, those sculptures.
Oh, so intense.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But anyway, no, I want to still make the animals, but I want it to be everywhere. You know, that's that goal. So
how have you seen the immersive art world environment here in Colorado develop over the last few years?
It's developed a lot. There were some immersive experiences here for a long time, and some companies doing it for a really long time, but the it's really exploded, obviously, with Meow Wolf. That's kind of the household name that everyone knows. And I think Denver is going to become kind of a new destination for that. There's a new Meow Wolf that just opened. And I think a lot of people are trying to kind of capture that lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
The next, I'm going to a residency right after this one where they're, it's a warehouse where a bunch of artists are just getting to take it over and do whatever we want in there. So it's going to be kind of like a toned down version of that, but I'm just keep working towards a full immersive experience. So
that's amazing. And can you tell me about what was your first animal like versus your big dream? So what was that process?
The first animal I drew probably 8 or 9 years ago. And it's just, it was just a sketch of just a hand animal, you know, just a just a horse or something where every leg was a thumb and then the head was also a thumb. But then it, in undergrad, for my thesis show, I created a fake art collective with 6 different members called the Black Bar Collective. We actually had 2 gallery showings in Denver.
That's awesome.
No one knew that it was just me. They thought it was a real collective. And I created bios for 6 different people and a website, and it had histories and CVs and everything for 6 different artists.
Whoa.
And one of those artists was Mr. Hannibal. That was one of the fake artists. And so for that show, I built the first Hannibal sculpture for that exhibit. And then from that exhibit, people started kind of had a little buzz around this fake collective. And so then I got another show from that. Actually, at the Center for the Visual Arts in Denver for their Synergistically Speaking collective show, I was in it.
Wait, can you say that word again?
Center for the Visual Arts in Denver.
And then the
show itself was called Synergistically Speaking, and it was about art collectives, and my
collective
was in there, but it was a fake collective. So anyway, but Mr. Hannibal was part of that, and he was like the street artist, intervention artist. So I would go and I'd put this Hannibal sculpture all over town and take photos with it, and then I would go and paint Hannibal stencils, like graffiti, stuff like that. So.
Well, you get more interesting as you talk. What's an intervention artist?
It's just an installation artist who does stuff in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Sculptures and that sort of thing. But then it would just happen as street art instead of, you know, gallery art.
Yeah. Wait, this is wild.
Yeah.
Wait, oh my gosh. So have you ever considered doing anything else than art? Because, I mean, you seem so perfect for this, but I'm just wondering, where has your brain thought about traveling?
I mean, I considered all sorts of things. I've done a lot of different things. I think the biggest thing is I get their most response from the animals.
Mm.
And for me, art, I know for a lot of people, they say, like, don't even consider the audience when you're making art. Just make what you want to make. To me, that doesn't make any sense. Because to me, the audience is who the art is for.
Yeah.
When I'm dead and gone, hopefully these things will be in a museum or something, and then the only thing people will get to experience is my art. They won't have me here talking about it. You know what I mean? So I think it's kind of dumb to not consider the audience. And so for me, it's what I enjoy. I really love making them. I've made up a whole story about them and a universe with them. But for me, I really like making them. But also, it gets the best response. So you kind of have to find that balance between the two, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Whoa. So what's the biggest challenge you've faced with your art?
Learning. Every artist is a small business, and that's a tough thing to learn. because as an artist, I think a lot of people are free spirits and they don't want to be tied down to a desk or a 9-to-5. But they don't realize that I traded a 9-to-5 for working 7 days a week now. You know what I mean? It's like, so it's got to be what you love. It's got to be what you're passionate about. But it's also like, you're running a business, and I have to consider my budget every month and my sales and which projects I can take on and which ones I can't with my, you know what I mean? It's all of that. So that's the hardest thing, is the business side of it for sure.
Oh my gosh. Ah, see, this is, you're putting yourself in a hole. I get my questions. Let's check how we're doing on time. Awesome. Okay. I promise I'll stop.
Oh, you're good. This is fun.
So I guess that brings up so many more new questions. So what resources were you first using to better understand budgeting, sales? You're saying the real words right now.
Oh, for sure. And you have to, I mean, the more you get into this, the more you'll realize, like, if you're getting into galleries and stuff, you need to keep track of that. They're going to ask for a sales sheet and, like, receipts, and they want to know what you've sold for before so they can price things.
Oh,
and
what does that
know.
Mean?
Because as an artist, you should always be raising your prices every year.
What?
No
one told me!
Yeah. I mean, if you're selling.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously. But, and critical. So that's something, and that's something I tell potential buyers even, which I don't like even talking about money or sales, but it's something you have to get used to doing. And so I just now had a guy who just bought a house and they want some work. And he was saying, oh, maybe this year or next. And I said, well, just so you know, it's going to be more expensive next year. I mean, you're better off buying it now if you want it, then just get it. You know what I mean? Because it's, and it's also a cool conversation you get to have. I was eating dinner at a house, a friend of mine who I sold a piece to maybe 8 years ago. And it was a cool conversation to say, hey, that's quadruple in value since you bought it. You know what I mean? So
awesome.
It's, you know, but anyway, yeah, as far as like how I learned all this stuff, I was, when I went to college originally for a couple years, it wasn't working out. So I quit and I came out to Colorado just to snowboard. I didn't even come out here. but then I fell in love and stayed here.
Aww.
And then I went to art school. And when I went to art school finishing up the college, I was a little older and I knew exactly what I wanted to do. So I was super intentional about paying attention to which professors were actually working artists, which ones were actually out there doing it. And then I would just go, I would say, hey, can we meet for coffee? I would take a notepad and I would say, tell me how you got to where you're at. Mm-hmm. And I did that with every professor that I respected. And that actually impressed one of them enough that we're now collaborators. We work together. So he has been able, Carlos Fresquez, he's amazing. Amazing Chicano artist. He was here in Denver during the Chicano movement when it started. He knew Corky, the guy who termed the term Chicano, and he made a lot of the posters and stuff that you see the Chicano imagery, like the Thunderbird.
Yeah.
Carlos was there when that, like the Farm Workers Aid was making that logo. Pretty crazy stuff. But he's been able to help me navigate so much of the art world and help me, like, tell me what to expect and what to. So I would say, don't try and do it on your own would be my advice. Find someone that can teach you and that's willing to teach you. And then if you do find that person, show up 15 minutes early, be the last one there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Work your ass off, because that's what's going to impress whoever your mentor is. So
yeah.
That's what I would say.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So we could talk for 18 more minutes, but we have a curator coming to see our artist in residence gallery in a little bit, so we'll go ahead and move to the last section. Please choose one of these prompts. Blue bowl is full of chill, child friendly prompts.
Me. I'm going spicy.
Oh, you're going spicy.
I'm going for the orange bowl.
Woohoo!
Spicy bowl.
What you got?
We got my hottest wonder star.
Oh.
Okay, well, obviously, I'm going to have to go Brenda, my partner. She's from Kenya, she's gorgeous. When I think hot, I just think like sexy, and that's her. I mean,
oh,
she's amazing. So
I can't wait for Brenda to hear this episode. Well, thank you so much
for
talking to me, for educating all our wonder stars on the podcast.
Definitely. Yeah.
Have a beautiful day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
After hearing Joseph and Mr. Hannibal, are you ready to take the art world by storm? Well, listen to Leah first so you know how it's done.
Oh, I love it. Okay, well, welcome to Wonder Star Wednesday. Thank you so much for coming on today. What's your name?
My name's Leah Brenner-Clack.
Oh, tell me more, Leah Brenner-Clack, about your life and what are you?
Oh, gosh, that's such a big question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do you want to start? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I feel like with the question, what are you, my big purpose is all about reclaiming that, because I feel like sometimes there's so many equity and diversity issues around, like, oh, what are you? But it's like,
yeah.
No, how do you define yourself? You could say, I am a cook. I am a New Englander. It's whatever you define yourself as.
Mm. Gosh, that's an interesting question, because I don't think about that a lot. I would definitely call myself a creative person.
Yeah.
And somebody who's interested in community and supporting community and connecting with others. So I don't know, I'm from California originally, but I've been in Colorado for 30 years.
Wow.
So I'm definitely Coloradan, I think, too. I love the outdoors. I'm an adventurist. I'm a spiritual seeker. I'm a
experimentalist. Tell me more about that. What is a spiritual seeker?
I am just really interested in like self-discovery and spiritual realms, and that can be things that change over time as far as like what that looks like. But you know, involves mysticism, astrology, spiritual experiences in general. Ooh. So,
and do you mind if we walk over there? This is kind of louder than I thought it would be. But actually, I'd love to know more about mysticism and how does that play into how you started at your current role, which I'd also love to hear about what that's about.
I don't know how that's played into it. I think I've just always been a really curious person about spirituality. I grew up in a conservative Christian religious household, and so I never really identified with that, and it felt very oppressive. Yeah. And so I think as I sort of came of age in my teen years, I stopped going to the church, and I started kind of exploring my own path and sort of been very independent in that way. And so I've always been drawn towards kind of alternative ways of connecting with the earth. You know, I think spiritualism really, and that connection with the earth and Mother Earth and caring for that and each other and like all of the ways that we are connected is sort of what I'm really interested in. And I think, I guess maybe that translates a little bit to what I do with my artwork, is, you know, connecting others and trying to make an inclusive and healing environment for creatives and artists, and improve our environment and improve our ways that we connect with each other through creative ways. So I guess that makes sense. I don't know.
Oh, it makes complete sense. And I'm wondering, also, I have to comment on your fantastic tattoos. I see so many beautiful flowers and of so many shades, and I see a dragon. How does that play into your art aesthetic? Do you find yourself seeking out certain types of tattoos?
Well, tattoos sort of was this way that I sort of, I guess, wanted to reclaim my body in my early 20s.
Yeah.
You know, growing up as a woman and, you know, the male gaze and the expectations of what it is means to be a woman. Mm. And I just felt like I wanted to reclaim my body and like take it for my own and decorate it the way that I wanted. And so that's kind of how it started. And as far as my aesthetic goes, I'm a huge appreciator of art. And so all the tattoos on my body are from two different artists in Boulder.
Oh, wow.
At Boulder Ink, Joel Long and Lance Talon. And so I sort of approach my tattoos in the same way that I approach artwork and working with artists. It's like I find artists that I really like and appreciate their work, and then I come to them and try to help collaborate, but really give them a lot of artistic freedom and come up with concepts or ideas that I'm interested in. Mostly, like, again, nature, animals, and flowers and things like that that feel like they have meaning for me, and then sort of give creative freedom to the artist to make it come to life.
Ooh. So tell me, who were some of the wonder stars that helped you on your journey to discovering and beginning to appreciate and love Mother Earth?
I think it probably would go back to my grandma. So my mom was a single mom and raised us, but also was going to, worked full time and went to school pretty much all through our childhood. So we spent a lot of time with my grandparents. And my grandmother was a creative woman and a gardener, and we spent a lot of time in her garden. She had a bird aviary in the back, so she raised all these different kinds of birds and, you know, tended her garden and was a sewer, and she made dolls and all kinds of different, like, creative crafts. And so that's what I was around a lot when I was a kid. And she was also a horsewoman, so we'd go to the stables and ride horses. So I think, like, that had a lot to, and I was in, that was in California. We lived in the suburbs, and so it wasn't, like, direct access to nature all the time, but it was access through gardening and tending animals and bird watching and things like that. So I think that's really, she was definitely one of the formative wonder stars, I would say, in my life.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Oh. And what do you think she would think about the amazing work you're doing with
Streetwise Arts?
Yes.
Oh, I think she'd be so proud. Oh. You know, she was wonderful. When I first started getting tattoos, she was so supportive and was like so interested and loving about it, because when I started getting tattoos, a lot of that wasn't as common as it is now, and so it was sort of like you never know how your family's going to react. But she was always so supportive and just a wonderful woman, and I think she'd be so proud.
Oh my goodness, I love it. So how did you find, I'm actually very interested in the tattoos. I know we're gonna get this to our science, but how did you first give, because I understand what you're saying about reclaiming control over your body, but also when you get a tattoo, you're kind of giving that person some control over your body for that piece of time. Yeah. How did you develop those relationships and trust for the other person?
Yeah, it started small, right? So my first one was smaller. Okay. It was this fish here that's on my shoulder.
Oh.
But at the time, you know, yeah, it's definitely a trust thing, and it is scary, especially in the first one or two that you get, and you're like making this big commitment. I think that's like what holds up a lot of people from doing it, is that, oh my gosh, it's going to be forever. How do I decide? It's such a big decision.
Yeah.
I sort of let go of that, like, intensity, and like, I don't know. It's, there's something that happens. I mean, number one was finding the artist that I trusted completely. Like, looking at all of their work, I loved all of their work, and I felt really comfortable knowing I would get something beautiful. Mm. And I think if you can give up a little bit of control, and this is my approach with murals too. So, you know, many people that want to get a mural on their building, you know, sometimes if you try to take too much control over the design or what it's going to be like, you're not going to get a product that ends up being as beautiful as if you were to give them creative freedom, because that's the artist at work, right? The artist, that's what they do. They create beautiful things. So it's sort of the same kind of thing, I think, with tattoos, is like being okay with giving up a little bit of that control, and having trust and believing in the creative vision of the artist, and going from there. And I think once you get your tattoos, they sort of become part of you. And even if it's not perfect, or maybe not exactly what you envisioned, they sort of just become part of who you are, and then you sort of like develop this even deeper appreciation for them over time.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing. Also, I'm so grateful that you were on the exact same wave with me, because I definitely was thinking about, it is kind of like a mural for your body.
Yeah.
So can you tell me more about the upcoming murals festival, and what is it like convincing someone who owns a building, let's go crazy on your space? Like, what is that process like?
Oh gosh, yeah. So the mural festival is coming up in under 2 weeks. It's Streetwise Boulder. We have 38 mural artists coming to town, some local, some from everywhere else. And yeah, it's going to be a big event. They're going to be painting over a week's time. Mm. And then we're going to have events throughout that week. So it's September 5th through the 12th.
Nice.
And yeah, I think finding the walls and the support from the people that own the walls to kind of give that freedom up, or give that control up, and like give the freedom to the artists and to Streetwise Arts to curate and kind of produce these events has definitely been the biggest challenge for us. You know, I started working in public art and murals about 5 years ago, and so started just one by one, you know, talking with property owners, trying to get them to understand like what it is that we do and what's the benefit, and you know, what it means. And it's definitely a slow process, but I think over those years, one by one, people started gaining more trust and seeing the work in public, and then kind of understanding it once they see it. So kind of building on that momentum and understanding what it means to have art on your building and how, what that does for the community. But yeah, as far as getting them on board with letting us do creative things sometimes can be a challenge. It depends on the person, you know. Letting go of control can be difficult for some people. So I think our approach is really to give as much information as we can, share the story of the artist, share the story of the concept behind the murals, all the murals. So our mural festival is not just a mural festival. It's a mural festival rooted in activism. So it's art and activism, AKA artivism. So all of the artists are creating work that is socially informed about diversity, representation, cultural identities, so, you know, political, so not very political, but like things that are going on in the world and like reflecting on that. So it's, there's a lot of meaning behind this work. And so making sure that that is communicated to the property owners, and so they know what they're supporting. And I think when they know the story and they get to know who this artist is, they do feel more comfortable like giving up a little bit of control. But sometimes that's the biggest hurdle, is like getting that support and that release of a little bit of control.
Makes complete sense. And you know, I feel like Streetwise Arts has had such a big impact overall on the town, because I know Boulder Public Library just opened up their first artist activist in residence, and I think the applications are due September 1st. I'll put in the link a little later.
Oh, that's
but,
so cool.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of that, I began seeing it with Streetwise Arts, and now I feel like it's spreading across. How do you feel like your time as the executive director, how have you seen your work and your impact flow throughout the town?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah, I think, you know, starting out with just doing murals in the beginning, but then shifting towards more of an art and activism focus and working with youth and really making it more community-based,
yeah.
That kind of happened in 2019, and that's also the first year of our mural festival.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel like we are making an impact and people can see it, and we're getting the feedback, and it really makes a difference for people to see in their environment when they're living in this town. You know, I think art is a really... the way that we express ourselves in a town, and when you can't see it out in the world, out in your daily environment, then you don't really feel like maybe you're being represented as a creative person or as an individual person. And so I think that we're making a big impact, and I hope that we continue to grow and gain more support, and it's just very rewarding what we're doing. So
oh my gosh, yes. And I mean, I have to admit, in my first year in Boulder, it was kind of horrifying. I mean, I could go 5-6 days without seeing a person of color. Not a person who's black, but a person of color.
Yeah.
And I feel like one thing that was really helpful for me was actually right over near the library. I think it's the main city building. There's a picture of, I think, Boulder's first black mayor.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's a mural. And I found out via your website that you all were part of that.
Well, we actually weren't, but it happened the same time as our festival last year. So that, I believe, was commissioned by the Boulder Arts Commission or the Office of Arts and Culture.
Uh-huh.
It's a portrait of, I'm spacing on his name, but anyways, Tate.
Yes,
Tate,
that's
right?
It.
But anyways, it's a beautiful portrait done by Detour 303 from Denver. He's an amazing artist. And it's beautiful. And I feel like that is such a great example of just... you know, having something that reflects the history of Boulder when sometimes you can't see, like, we do have a diverse history. We do have diverse people that live here. And, like, we are here and we all are beautiful and deserve our stories to be told and feel connected with each other. So.
Okay. And now we're down to the last two questions. So one of my last questions is, you are exposed to so many artists, not only through your work, but also through your passions and your hobbies. So I know this is the evil question, but who's your top Wonderstar artist?
Oh,
and you
goodness.
Can choose not just Boulder. So like the globally from when you were a kid, go back as far as you want.
That is so difficult.
I know.
Because I have such an appreciation for so many artists, and I meet new artists all the time that blow my mind.
Yeah.
And I just... I wish I could answer that question, but I don't think I could.
Oh,
it's just so hard because, there's just so many. And the fun part about what I do is just like discovering new artists, rediscovering new artists, and, you know, it just is constantly evolving, so.
Okay. So I'll let you out of that specific one, but okay, so for anyone who's living in Boulder and is excited to meet a new artist who's still kind of underground, who would you suggest checking out right now?
Well, we have a couple of really cool up-and-coming artists in the festival this year.
Awesome.
One of which is Zeta Seaver.
Ooh.
She's a Denver artist, and you can find her on the roster on her website, Streetwise Boulder. And I have to say, another one she's actually painting right next to her is Sophia Ramirez. So they're both painting downtown. And you can find the map and info on them on our website. But both of those are some of our younger up-and-coming artists this year.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Okay, thank you. And then last question, pull from our prompts. The blue is chilled and more child-friendly. The orange is spicier, more adult-friendly.
Oh, okay, I'll go with orange.
Ooh.
Let's see what we got.
What does it say?
Your lost wonder star.
Okay. So tell me, that prompt is just tell me who was the first person you thought of that's a wonder star in your life that's kind of lost right now. Whether they're lost to themselves or lost to you, however you want to take it.
That's a tough question. Because loss can mean so many different things. But I might just say my dad, because my dad passed away about 17 years ago. You know, he wasn't very involved in my life growing up because my mom and dad were separated. However, we had a deeper bond that we nurtured, especially in high school and college. He was sort of a black sheep of his family.
Yeah.
I feel kind of like I was a black sheep of my family and just sort of doing our own thing. And, you know, we really connected, and I just, you know, I miss him a lot, and he's passed on, but that's probably who I would pick.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I love that your father also kind of nurtured that outsider fierce mentality that you're now able to support other outsiders across Boulder County and the state of Colorado. Thank you so much for your work.
Thank you. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Yay! Wonderstar Wednesday!
I hope you enjoyed our night with Savannah Hope, Heather D. Schulte, Joseph Amongst the Ninjas, and Mr. Hannibal. And a huge thank you to Streetwise Arts Nonprofit for hosting us at their studio up in Nobo at the Bus Stop Gallery. If you like that, feel free to come back. Thank you for traversing Wonder Stars of the Nobo Art District with me again this week. Come back for another galactic trek every second and fourth Thursday of the month. In the meanwhile, keep twinkling with your cosmic style, my dear Wonder Star. See you next time.